Dinky was nodding. So were Worthington and Danny Rostov. Even Shimi was nodding his head. 14. Eddie lay in that same circle of light, but now his face was clean, and the top sheet of the proctor's bed had been folded neatly down to his midsection. Susanna had dressed him in a clean white shirt she'd found somewhere in the proctor's closet, was Jake's guess, and she must have found a razor, too, because his cheeks were smooth. Jake tried to imagine her sitting here and shaving the face of her dead husband, singing Kamala, come, come, the rice has just begun, as she did it, and at first he couldn't. Then, all at once, the image came to him, and it was so powerful that he had to struggle once again to keep from bursting into sobs. She listened quietly as Roland spoke to her, sitting on the side of the bed, hands folded in her lap, eyes downcast. To the gunslinger, she looked like a shy virgin receiving a marriage proposal. When he had finished, she said nothing.
Do you understand what I've told you, Susanna?
Yes, she said, still without looking up. I'm to bury my man. Ted and Dinky will help me, if only to keep their friends. She gave this word a bitterly sarcastic little twist that actually encouraged Roland a bit. She was in there, after all, it seemed. From taking him away from me and lynching his body from a sour apple tree.
And then?
Either you'll find a way to come back here, and we'll return to Fedek together, or Ted and Dinky will put me on the train and I'll go there alone. Jake didn't just hate the cold disconnection in her voice. It terrified him as well. You know why we have to go back to the other side, don't you? He asked anxiously. I mean, you know, don't you? To save the rider while there's still time. She had picked up one of Eddie's hands, and Jake noted with fascination that his nails were perfectly clean. What had she used to get the dirt out from beneath them, he wondered. Had the proctor had one of those little nail care gadgets, like the one his father always kept on a keychain in his pocket?